you know, all his friends, you know, they all see me as like just John, you know, I'm not, here comes the guy in the wheelchair, let's stay away from him. They always, you know, they're there talking to me, joking around and stuff like that. So I guess because they were, we've grown up all together, all the kids have grown up with me, with him, they don't see me as the wheelchair guy.
Welcome to Professor of Perseverance podcast, where people share their stories of life tragedies, of accepting adversities, begin battling, and conquer challenges to not only survive difficulties, but also thrive in life. Are you having a bad day? Do you need help in overcoming adversities? Do you need help mastering courage to turn tragedies into your own triumphant life story? If so, then this podcast is for you. Professor of Perseverance podcast will inspire you to face challenges head on in life and provide motivation to be a leader for others by setting examples of winning through difficulties while encouraging people to live life to the fullest. Your host of Professor of Perseverance podcast, Dr. James Perdue.
Hey, welcome to the Professor of Perseverance podcast. I'm Dr. James Perdue, aka the Professor of Perseverance. Hey, I didn't name you that. Somebody else, they said, you're a doctor, professor. Hey, you talk about perseverance? Professor of Perseverance. Hey, I have a great story here. We got Popeyes in my neighborhood and everything. And one day driving by, and Popeyes was actually advertising for the Professor of Perseverance. How cool is that? What had happened is where it says Popeyes, where it says eyes, for some reason wasn't lit up. It just said P-O-P, Pop, Professor of Perseverance. So, hey, today, now, again, we're discussing spinal cord injuries because September is designated Spinal Cord Injury Awareness Month. And I had mentioned before, instead of Awareness Month for spinal cord injury, should it be Spinal Cord Injury Spinal Cord Prevent Injury Month? I mean, instead of just say spinal cord injury from there. But that's my little 2 cents worth. It's worth a nickel nowadays with inflation. What do you think about that, John? It's worth a nickel, though, because of inflation.
Inflation keeps going up.
That's right. So we'll go from there. Hey, we got a great interview. We're going to be fun. Actually, I don't even know. I know he's a spinal cord injury. I've seen him on YouTube, John. And don't do like me. One time I mispronounced his name because he has a K in there. He says, nope, that's silent. So it's Belknap. John Belknap. So is that my close on the Belknap?
I got a cousin. He goes by Belk now. And I was like, you're not really my family then.
There you go. That's right.
He doesn't want it spelled and says it that way.
So we're going to have some fun today. We're going to, and again, I don't know exactly John's injury. And now, John, I'm going to apologize right now because there may be a time that I call you Johnny B. Because when I grew up, when I was 14, 15, there's an older gentleman who lived in our neighborhood, and his name was Johnny B. So if I accidentally say Johnny B, just take it as from there.
I get called a lot of things.
Now someone's jumped in.
Got James here.
Yeah, James. Hey, James. Thanks for coming in from there. Thank you. Appreciate that, James. Hey, all right, John, let me read a little intro. John, now you said you're 42 years old with your intro, but when you get to my age of 55, you got to take your glasses off to read.
I said I got to put them on to read.
There you go. So, all right, so John here, we just mentioned about the silent K, Belknap. 42, lives in Georgia. All right, grew up with his mom and dad, younger sister. I know he's involved with his nephew who plays baseball for the Dirty Ducks. John is in photography. He got into that. Well, his dad introduced him to it at 13. John kind of says, that's not for me. Then later on in life, he says, you know, maybe that is more for me. And it's a good thing because John said he's won 3 awards from his photography business here. And also, John likes to go to the he's a fitness guru. We'll call him a guru because I've seen some of his videos, and he does more fitness than I do right now. So he's a guru at it. Said he's been working out since 17. And then, of course, he said he'd been working out since he loved the workout and everything. And then he said he got turned on at 17, you know, maybe saw one or two women kind of walking on the treadmill, got his interest as well. So there's nothing wrong with that. Say love is found everywhere. So, you know, who knows, you may find that love hanging in there. So I'm interested in your American Body building supplements that you worked for a while. So that's cool. I had a friend that graduated high school with me, and he got into bodybuilding. Did fair, did decent. So, but I mean, he looked good, that's for sure. But I'm not sure how much he won. So, yeah, go check some of John's videos out on his training and whatnot. All right, John, let's get started. I'm not going to do like I did last time with Mike and forget to ask, how'd you get hurt?
Well, I fell asleep driving. Went to a party with a friend, took her to a birthday party, and I was the DD for the night. Left and got about a mile of where I was going to. And the night before, I was dating a girl that lived an hour north of me. And we went out and stayed up to about 3 o'clock. I had to get up at 6 o'clock to drive an hour south to be back home to go to work at 8. Went to work and got off work, came home, took a nap. My buddy came over, said, let's go out, take me to this party and stuff like that. Took him to the party. And about 12:30, we left that night. And got about a mile of where we were going to, and I fell asleep driving and went off the road, hit the embankment, and the roof caved in on my side, and broke every bone in my neck except for my C2. And so that was it.
And, so the level of injury is what then?
I'm considered a C5, C6 quad.
C5, C6. I'm a C5, C6 incomplete. I am incomplete. You're incomplete or complete?
They never could decide because I do have some shit that's like a spotty sensation below my injury level.
So I would say it's still, even though part of it possibly has been cut, but as long as you still have tack, it's still called an incomplete.
Yeah.
So, and fortunately for me, I have sensation all over, been very blessed. I've only had one pressure sore, and that's when I was in the hospital.
Wow.
I've never had any since then. But again, credit that I do have feeling, so I know how to. I know when my tail end is getting tired of sitting in one spot, I know to shift, or if my leg goes to sleep, I know to shift. So, fortunately, that feeling has definitely been a blessing for me.
Yeah, I have the sensation in my butt, so I know I have bladder. I have bladder back, so that was good. But I don't know if you're the same way. I have internal feeling. But not if somebody touches my legs or something, I can't feel it. But I know my legs will tighten up on the inside, like my muscles will contract, and I can feel them. But I'll know beforehand that I'm gonna have a spasm or something like that because I can feel my legs tighten up on the inside, and I was like, here comes my spasm. So it's kind of a weird sensation because I try to explain it to people that aren't spinal cord injury, because they're like, how can you feel that you're about to do something, but you can't feel the outside. Like even with my bladder, I could, feel it. My bladder's full, but I can't, the sensation isn't there when you do go to the bathroom.
Yeah. Somebody like me, if you try to explain to me, I go, you must be psycho. I mean, psychic.
Yeah.
So, now fortunately I can feel, touch, move. Even when I first got injured, I'm in the hospital and they're moving my toe back and forth, and I could tell them if it was down or bent or straight and with toe. And so fortunately I had the pressure touching that they could do. But then it took about a year for me to get hot and cold, sharp and dull, back. But again, if I credit that sensation, is why I haven't got any pressure sores.
Yeah.
So because I know to do that.
Well, speaking of that, I know we'll probably get to it later, but while I was saying about my surgery, I had sensation everywhere except for my left leg where I could feel touch and stuff like that. Wasn't a normal touch, but I could feel touch from my leg all the way down to my right leg and stuff like that. But when I had that experimental surgery, I lost it all.
So that's one thing about when you go in for any experiment is what could happen, and you're not sure what's going to happen. Because I've said early, when I went to 12 different rehabs to find that cure the first 5 years, that I would do just about anything. But as I got older and had a job and had a mortgage and a house, then I'm going, I don't know if I would do that now, because I'd hate to go in hoping I could gain something. And then next thing you knew, I've lost
more.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I don't know as you get older if it's worth it or not. Hey, James, thank you again for coming in. Hey, if you have a question, buddy, just go ahead and type it in for John and myself, and we'll hit it there. We'll just stop and answer your question, and we can move right along. So don't wait on us. If you have a question, go ahead and ask. We appreciate you being here. So speaking of muscle spasms, I remember the first time when I was in the hospital having a muscle spasm, and one of the doctors came in at about 4:30 that morning. You know how they are. They come in real early.
All the time.
A hospital, you'll never get rest in a hospital. They're always coming in 3 or whatever. Hey, this is Will. Hey, Will Life. Hey, Tim. Hey, buddy. Thanks for coming in. But yeah, hospital, you'll never get any rest or anything. But about 4:30, one came in. And then like the day before, I started having some muscle spasms. And I remember asking the doctor, hey, doc, I said, I'm having muscle spasms. Is that good or bad? And he goes, oh, it's good, man. He said, that means there's signals trying to get through the injury. He said, that's good. I get, well, about an hour and a half later, a different doctor comes in. And I said, hey, doc, I said, I got muscle spasms. I said, is that good or bad? Oh, it's bad. So, you know, back in 83, they had no idea if it was good or bad, you know, back then.
Yeah. Yeah, so, they told me it's just good to keep your muscle tone. They go, spasm is good for your muscle tone. That's about it.
Yep. The muscle tone. The one that said, oh, it's bad, and his reason for bad was if you're sitting in your wheelchair and you have a muscle spasm strong enough, it may throw you out of your chair.
Yeah. Been there.
Oh, yeah. I've looked like Superman plenty of times.
Yeah.
So, hey, Tim, buddy, thank you again for coming in. This is Will Life. Hey, if you have a question with John or me, go ahead and post it anytime. We'll answer yours, and then because we can always come back to us. So, appreciate you showing up. So, all right, John, let's get to more. You know, your injury is not one that's rare. A lot of people go to sleep at the wheel. Maybe not everybody sustains an injury as bad as yours, or of course some worse if they pass away. But I mean, it's not a rare thing. Actually, I got a friend; he's passed away now. Been probably about it's close to about 8 years now, I guess. And he was a sipping puff, paralyzed from his neck down, sipping puff. He was come around a corner too fast. And I'm not sure exactly if he was in Canada or just some northern up because he's from that area. Mm-hmm. He said he come around a curve and there was a 1,500-pound moose standing in the road.
Wow.
And he hit the moose. He goes up in the air and lands on top. And like yours, you said your roof caved in. Same thing. His roof caved in. And his head was just paralyzed, pushed down with the moose on top of the caved in.
Wow.
His name was Terry. So Terry Moore. He's passed away since it's been about 8 years now. But he was a good guy. I would have loved to have him on this podcast.
Yeah.
Tim's
asking if my headboard bought or made. It's bought. It was actually I got it last December. I had to get a new bed because my bed had seen the better days. I had one of bed that the head and foot lets up and down, and the motor's quit on it, so I had to get a new bed so I could sit up, take care of things. So, but yeah, but I just put the LED for Christmas. I bought one of the little LED kits, so I put it behind the headboard, so I taped it behind the headboard, so I just let the lights go on all day long.
I noticed about earlier, you kind of changes colors there, buddy.
Yeah.
Not build up to one flavor there, you know. So, hey, Tim, you know, apologize to me. Any questions? A great question, man. So, I mean, you may want to get a headboard for yours next. So, you don't know unless you ask. So, appreciate you being here. All right. Now, John, let's get to this right here because frustration takes over spinal cord. Well, any disability, basically. It doesn't have to be spinal cord, but frustration takes over when you're so used to being young and vibrant and strong, independent, and now you've got to sit back and wait on other people to help you. Some people are what I call super quads. they can do just about anything. I saw a video yesterday, a girl, I'm not sure what level, but I know she was a quad, and she transferred on the floor, and then turned around and got off the floor, onto her sofa, back in her chair. I know this other guy, he lives just an hour from me. He was a Paralympic. He won 8 gold medals in Barcelona back in 92 or 94, and won 8 gold medals. Every one of them was a world record. But I saw him one time when I first got injured, transferred out of his chair into his van. Mm-hmm. It has no lift, which mine has a lift to get me in. Okay, but he transferred over onto the floor. Then he put his chair across him in the back. Then he grabbed under his legs and rolled around till he got in between the two seats, picked himself up, put himself in the driver's seat, and took off. I said, man, if I could do any of that, I'd have to take a nap before I can drive anywhere. But there's people out there super quiet. So can you give an example of maybe one of your first times that you've learned? I mean, because we had to learn patience. Acceptance. I know I've had to learn to swallow my sinful pride and ask for help.
Yeah, because, you know, we go from being like I was really, you know, independent on myself and, you know, I never wanted to ask for help from anybody and stuff like that. And I was always the one helping people. And then after my accident, I mean, just simple as putting clothes on and stuff like that, I was like, you know, I want to do it so bad myself, but I had to swallow my pride. It's like, you know, I can't do my socks. I can't do my shoes. You mind helping me do all this? And you know, it's kind of, I mean, it's going on this October 2nd will be 20 years. So this year. So, you learn to take people's help and all that, but it's still hard sometimes to ask for help doing things, but you know, it's just part of the lifestyle. And I had to, you know, you have to get over it and accept the fact that you need help now.
I tell you, one of the hardest days of my injury was the date and year they came when I was finally sitting in a wheelchair longer than I was walking. You know, at least you're 22, and this can be 20 years, so you still have 2 years before this is going to happen. Yeah. And, but for me, I got hurt when I was 19. So when that 19th year came, knowing the very next day was going to be more years sitting than walking.
Oh, yeah.
Can be frustrating. It was for me anyway. Yeah. And you may handle like a champ, and I hope you do. I really do. But for me, I was going, So I wasn't a happy camper to be around.
It's like, I kind of wonder how it's going to be for me because, you know, with spinal cord injuries, anything, you can be feeling great one day, and the next day or just a few hours, minute or two later, dysreflexia or anything will hit you. And you know, you can go from having a great day to a really bad day right quick.
Real fast. The dysreflexia hit me a week and a half ago. And so I had an interview with Mike Morrow, and we had to postpone it a couple of days for me to get through it. I'm not sure. I haven't done a lot of research. Do paraplegics, do they get this, or is it just for quads?
It's mostly quads.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. I haven't heard any of my para friends talk about doing that. And I guess it's because of our temperature gauge and everything is activated up high. It's the one that's being manipulated causing that, I guess. I've never really thought of it. Now, here's a question I want to ask you here. I asked on Facebook one time about this. Being that you're a quadriplegic, Tim, I'm asking you too, because I know you're a quad. Before my injury, I'm left-handed dominant. I would throw left-handed, bat left-handed, eat left-handed. Well, actually, I ate both-handed growing up. But I was left-handed. I wrote left-handed. After my injury, my right side is stronger and has become my dominant hand. Not that I can throw any better or anything, but I write right-handed. Again, I'll eat mostly right-handed because the left-handed drop my fork and stuff. But did it switch after your injury?
Well, that's funny because I'm left-handed originally, and shot a gun, bow and arrow, all that. I did a lot of stuff right-handed, but I was left-handed. But I did a few things left-handed. But after my injury, my right side is so much better and stronger than my left side is. So, but yeah. But like when I was in the hospital talking about writing and stuff, the therapist was trying to get me my left hand I couldn't write with because my hand wouldn't do anything. My right hand was trying to learn to write right-handed. And she's like, you know, you can do better than that. And she kept on. I was like, well, I'm originally left-handed. I was like, why don't you, what? I said, why don't you take the pencil and put it in your left hand? You can write.
That's right. So, yeah, it's amazing. And I'm glad we have therapists. I'm glad we have nurses. I'm glad of all that. But it's amazing how in their own training, they're fixed at, no, this is what you ought to be doing. Wait, we're all different. You know, I can't do what that person do, but let me try it my way.
Oh, yeah.
One thing about to find out with anybody with a disability, we learn to become very creative.
Mm-hmm.
So to do things that we may not be able to do what somebody else is doing, but we can alter it a way to do it our way, and the outcome is going to be the same.
Oh, yeah. Trying to figure everything out where we can do it.
There you go. John, can you give me 2-3 examples of reasons why you feel like, why are you so desired to get out in public and do things, be a positive role model? I mean, you know as well as I do, there's people out there, they become disabled or whatnot, and they just want to lay in bed, be fed. Now, some of them have no choice over it.
Oh, yeah.
Don't get me wrong about that. I understand that. But there's other people that they just said, I'm going to stay at home. I'm not getting out in the world anymore. As long as I'm fed and watered like a plant, I'm good.
Yeah.
So what has given you the desire, the strength, the motivation, inspiration to want to do better for yourself?
I guess when I was in the therapy center and, you know, I was 22 at the time of my accident, and I looked at the younger kids, like every kid's in there, you know, 8 years old was youngest or something like that. And I look at the life, at least I got to live my life till 22 and did a lot of things throughout my life up till 22 that, you know, a lot of people, these kids won't ever get to do and all that because of their injury. So I had to look at it that way. And also, when I was, the doctor come in was telling me, you know, you're paralyzed, you're not gonna be able to walk, you're not gonna be able to do this anymore. So it was either a choice. I do lay in bed and not do anything or get up. I was like, I'm 22 years old. I'm young. I got to find a way to, you know, live a life because this is my life now. I can't let it hold me back. And, you know, I got to keep on going forward because, you know, if I'm not one, I've always been kind of a laid back, happy guy. And, you know, trying to see the best in life about things and the best in people. And I was like, I can't just give up now and just not do anything. I was like, you know, being 22.
There's still a big world out there once you open up your front yard, front door, and that, you know, I'd say it, people are missing it. You don't have to travel all over the place, but you can make some big results in your community to help out the fellow disabled person, especially someone that you can help in the future make things easier for them.
Let's see, I do like the first Tuesday in the month, I do peer support for at a rehab center. Go down there, do all the peer support, stuff like that for any, if we have any newly injured or even people that have been there but are going through some kind of depression state or something like that, you know, we're there to help them through it. And, you know, always, we all have each other's phone numbers and stuff like that. So we call each other and, you know, try to keep, you know, if something's going on, you know, we'll call each other. It's like, you know, talk to me about it and stuff.
There you go. This is Will Life. He says before he was right-handed, even though his left hand was stronger, but now he's left-handed dominant. So I would like there to be some type of research on why that switches. You know, that would be awesome. So, hey, Prospecting with Disabilities, hey, thank you for coming in, buddy. They appreciate every time you come in. Hope things going good for you. Hope things I hope you're having a great day. Now, John, I've asked this with Mike and some others. And again, this is again September.
Woohoo!
Injury Awareness Month. Again, I think need to be changed to spinal cord prevent injury. I don't know if that'll work too well because people tell their stories, but you say, this is what you don't do.
Yeah.
You don't play football without all your protective gear. Or John says, you don't take a nap while you're driving.
Drink coffee.
That's right. So maybe my idea won't fly if that's all you do. Yeah. So, let me, I'll give you an example. Name one or two things, you know, that you wished the hospital or rehab would have enlightened you more, educated you more about, that you had to find out firsthand. For me, again, it goes back to the dysreflexia stuff. They may have mentioned something about that. I don't remember it, but I remember the first time I experienced it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So wish they would get more heads up on that.
Oh, yeah. Huh. Let's see. Trying to think what I can come up with about that.
Well, okay. That's all right. Other things, I know they told me about UTIs, but they didn't tell me they would be this recurring, as many as I've had you know, over my lifetime. I didn't realize that. So I'm just wondering if maybe your rehab you went to was more educating than mine, or maybe I wouldn't accept it.
I went through the Shepherd Center up in Atlanta, which at the time was just brain and spinal cord injuries. And we had class all the time, and dysreflexia was one of the main things. And they basically, in skin sores, they basically scared the crap out of you. So you will do weight shifts all the time and, you know, try to figure out, like with dysreflexia, keep your nails cut, anything, you know, make sure you're not sitting on anything, and pressure sores. So
I remember the first time I experienced dysreflexia, I mean, I had a blood pressure shooting up and headache pounding, and I'm spasming uncontrollably. And so we're going through this book. I went to UAB in Birmingham. It was called Spain Rehabilitation Center. And they gave me this notebook that we can go through. So here's my mom, my brothers are going, well, maybe you need to make your bladder too full. So we catheterized, and that wasn't it. Well, maybe you need a bowel movement. So we did that. No, that wasn't it. Well, they looked at my socks. Maybe they're too tight.
Yeah.
That wasn't it. And then, so all of a sudden, they read about toenails. Like you said, keep them clicked, your nails. And they pinched the big toe on my left side on each side of it. And all of a sudden, my leg almost hit me in the chin. It spasms me. So we did our own doctoring, and we flipped out, the ingrown toenail. It was like, as soon as they popped that out, it was like everything went back to normal. There was no headache.
Yeah, it's funny how quick it goes away when it goes away. And how quick it comes up out of nowhere, and then once you figure it out, it's gone.
Yeah, but that's it. You got to go through your checklist to get it figured out and everything.
We had a guy that I met while I was up at Shepherd, and he had dysreflexia. He was telling us about it. And he goes, they checked everything on his body, and everything was good. And then they finally got him out of the chair, and he was sitting he had eaten popcorn, and a kernel fell and got between his butt and the cushion, and that kernel.
Wow.
He goes, we checked my body, everything. He goes, I got out of my chair to lay down so I can check everything out. There's the corn kernel sitting in my cushion. And he goes, when I got out of bed, I felt great. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
If you don't understand, little things like that will do it to you.
Oh, yeah. And it's from there. I wouldn't even thought of that. Something that small would have caused, but obviously it does.
Yeah.
All right, John, I'm a big believer for three reasons why I'm at where I'm at in life. One, I've become a Christian late in life, but believe that God has a purpose, everything for a reason. We can question it, but he may not give us an answer. But I know that before I was even born, he put me with the family that I needed. He knew the family that was going to take care of me, pop me around when I needed to be back in check to get out of a bad attitude, care for me, love me. My family sacrificed so much for me. And the third thing is, some friends that's been in and out of your life that, help. And they may be there 40 years from now, or they may be there for 40 minutes to do something to help you. But those special friends. So can you contribute? What do you contribute?
Yeah, I think
being successful in where you're at and being a role model.
I think right now, like you said, family was a big thing for me, and family stepped up, and even family I hadn't even seen in years. You know, when this happened, everybody came together, and I was like, wow, it took me to get her for a family reunion. And
there you go. That's right.
Yeah. And so now I'm close to family that still today that, you know, wasn't really close to back then. And, you know, and then I kind of, everybody says, you know, you ask why. But I think I'm so close with my nephew and all that. So, and, you know, kind of try to do right for him to look up to and stuff like that. And, you know, always spending my time with him and, you know, helping out with him and stuff like that. So,
but you know. you're teaching him a lot right now. It's not the disability part, even though it is helping him to see that when he gets older, firsthand, so he would know how to
react to
people, react and not be so biased, and he could help educate other people. But just seeing your positive mindset, your attitude, you know, your perseverance, he's learning stuff through that. So you're teaching a whole lot to him. And, of course, by going to the ball games and being the photographer for the team, how many other people are watching you and you're affecting them?
Yeah, all his friends, you know, they all see me as, like, just John. You know, I'm not – here comes the guy in the wheelchair. Let's stay away from him. They always, you know, they're there talking to me, joking around and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
So. It's not, I guess, because they were, we've grown up all together. All the kids have grown up with me, with him. They don't see me as the wheelchair guy.
I heard a story a long time ago, and it's when I got my service dog, Ricardo, and he's not with us right now. He's in the other room taking a nap. But when I was getting him in Orlando at Canine Companions for Independence, they told a story about this one girl in a wheelchair, and the friends would say, hey, there's the girl in the wheelchair. Mm-hmm. Well, when she got her canine assistant, then it was, there's the girl with the dog. They overlooked her wheelchair for the dog then.
Yeah.
And so it was very positive, a change of terms at least.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully their attitudes changed a little more too as well.
Well, I guess I'm the guy with the camera then, because
that's right.
If I'm out in public and I don't have my camera on me, that's what I'm getting asked. Where's your camera? I was like, can I come out without my camera one day?
There you go, is right.
I was like, I enjoy things without my camera for a change.
With my man Ricardo, it's everybody we go to, hey, Ricardo, how you doing? And they had no clue what my name is. But, the guy with the camera, where's your camera, man? Mm-hmm. So,
That's
good. All right. Yeah. So, anything else? Come on, what else big can you tell us?
What's that?
Anything big? Oh, we're forgetting a huge aspect here. And my man would be Angry Quad.
Mm-hmm.
He was on my last podcast here, and he called in the last 2 minutes, and he asked about research. And I missed him when he came in because I was signing off. But for Angry Quad, if you come back and you listen, buddy, we're going to ask you a question now with Johnny B. Have you ever thought about or participated with any spinal cord research?
Yes. I went to
Hey, Angry Quad, we got a yes, buddy.
Yeah. He'll love this because he's always doing stuff like this.
Oh, I love watching his videos, man.
Yeah.
Very creative. I don't care for the language sometimes, but you know, that's him.
Yeah.
Not me. And I mean, I don't hold anything against him. But I love his creation. Again, he's what did we say earlier about inventive, you know, to discover, to make things better for him and others.
Oh,
so, I love his videos.
Yeah, he's always telling me to get rid of my lateral supports and get the floor.
So explain more to us about the research that you participated in then.
Yeah, I had a doctor come around in 2000, and he basically, you know, was telling about this swan cell surgery. where they take the cells out of your stomach and inject them to your spinal cord where your injury level is. And so I had a, you know, he gave me some references, people to call and talk to. So I called and talked to a few people, and they said they regained some stuff and all that. And but he told me I had to get the surgery done because it's only going to be in the Southeast United States for a limited time before he moves on to another part of the country. And so we did a bunch of fundraisers and ended up going to Quito, Ecuador in South America, and was down there for almost a month. And I had my surgery done, I think it was 3 days after I got down there. And got down there and did my surgery. And hold on a second. Sorry about that. But went down there.
Busy man.
Yeah.
Important man.
Yeah, it's my sister calling, wanting my nephew.
There you go.
But yeah, we went down to South America, and they did this swan cell and got put in my spinal cord. And, you know, being South America, it's kind of like a third world country. And coming back from the United States, and well, while I was down there, for a neck brace, because they had to do my neck surgery and stuff like that, they didn't have a regular neck brace like we have here in the States. They took a pillowcase and wrapped the pillowcase around my neck, then took duct tape and duct taped it.
Oh.
And that's supposed to keep my neck from going side to side, up and down.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. So, yeah, did the surgery and came back home. And after everything was said and done, kind of deal, I waited a few months because he said it'll take about 6 months to start regaining function and stuff like that. And basically it was a flop because I had sensation, like I said, all the way down to my right leg. And it wasn't normal, but I had sensation and stuff like that. I lost all that sensation. Still haven't gained it back on the outside touch. And wasn't really, you know, spent all that money fundraising, all that money, and didn't really get anything out of it except for a trip to South America.
Mm.
So, and then people keep asking me what I consider, like one of the kids that went down there with me, he was from Alabama. He had a cyst on his spinal cord, and he was losing feeling every day. Well, they cut the cyst out, and he quit losing his feeling. Well, he didn't get anything from the surgery either. But when stem cells became a big thing, he was one of the first people to get the stem cells over in Beijing, China. And like I think it was 60 Minutes, or somebody did a story on him. But he actually went over there, and he went twice that I know of. I hadn't heard from him since. And but the first time he was a quad, he got the stem cells, he regained some function, and more feeling, sensation, lowest level. And then he went back for a second time. And his dad was telling me the second time they went, he regained bowel bladder, most of it. He started getting more hand use and stuff like that. And his trunk support was better. So, and he was supposed to went back for another treatment. But like I said, I never heard from him anymore.
Yeah.
So, and now I have somebody right now telling me, you know, why don't you try stem cells? It's like, you know, 20 years into it, I think I'll be all right. You know, until something, I don't want to keep being a guinea pig.
Yeah, that's it. Is like I said a while ago, I went to, you know, that 12 different rehabs trying to find that cure. Mm-hmm. And now that I'm older and stuff, yeah, I don't know. I think I want to naturally regress, not.
Yeah.
And of course, that's a chance you take. You know, you take a chance and it may work out, mm-hmm. and you take a chance and then nothing can work out or get worse. And so that's a chance you take in all this research.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And don't get me wrong, people have to do it. So yeah. We find out. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure if I'm that person anymore.
Yeah.
From there. Sorry, Angry Quad. I know you wanted me to say different, but
he's not on here.
But if he ever joins, listen there. Sorry, man. But I don't know if it's for me.
Yeah.
So
he's like, don't let your body to science so they can figure it out. It's like,
no, I don't mind leaving my body for science. Yeah. I taught science for like 14, 15 years in middle school. And I said the ultimate last final joke is if one of your students was at a study doctor research and all of a sudden you put a sheet back and there I am naked.
Yeah.
So I'll get the final laugh if there were any of my students. All right, John. Hey, I appreciate you coming in today and giving us your your inspiration and motivation. Appreciate your story. Again, you're going to help somebody listening here in the future. I'm a firm believer with that stem cells is going to be the way to go.
Oh yeah,
I believe that with the way it already produces and everything. So I'm a firm believer of that.
But again, a lot of good things come from it.
I'm not going to say I'm out of it forever. Or wouldn't try if stem cells ever come close enough for me to do. But I'm not sure if I'm going to jump on a plane and go somewhere.
Well, I figured there'd be a cure when we're probably like 80 years old. So we'll finally get out of chair for a day or two. And they're like, yeah, we're back. You know, by that time, you're going to beat me in a chair.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. So, but again, it helps someone in the future.
Oh, yeah.
John, tell everybody how we can, if anybody has any questions or whatnot, how can they get a hold of you?
I got my YouTube page. It's John Belknap, and also Facebook, John Belknap on there. And it's John, J-O-H-N, and the Belknap is B-E-L-K-N-A-P.
So, B-E-L-K-N-A-P.
Yeah, B-E-L-K-N-A-P.
There you go.
What we all said, right. Belknap.
All right, John, I appreciate it. There's no, I mean, you're definitely inspiring people. Have you had this happen to you? I haven't had it in a long time, but had when I first got injured. Someone's over there petting my head like a dog because I'm in a wheelchair, and I'm going, it makes you want to go, roof, roof.
You know?
But I know they were just trying to be nice and whatnot, but it's amazing how some people try to be nice and they're just disrespectful at the same time, but they don't know any better.
Or it's like you go to the restaurant and the waitress hands your friend the menu and not you the menu. This happened to me a few weeks ago. The lady handed my friend the menu, and I'm looking. I was like, do I not get a menu? And she goes, oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, you can talk?
I'm like, whoa.
Yeah,
he can read and talk.
Hey, this has happened to me more than once, and I'm sure it's going to continue happening in the future. When I go to a place, if it's not raining, I leave my lift open on the ground, the doors open. Mm-hmm. It saves time getting back in, as long as it's not raining. And this has happened multiple times to go out and eat. And they'll say to my brother or my friend that's with me, and they'll say to them, you left your van door open. And they'll point at me and say, well, it's his van. They look at me and then turn back to them and go, well, I just want you to know you left the door open.
Yeah.
So I'm glad they're being thankful to want to close the doors, but they need to go to the source that has the proper equipment. So,
yeah.
All right, John, hey, I appreciate you coming in, motivating us and everything for this September Spinal Cord Injury Awareness Month. I hope everybody's got something out of it. Okay, click the like button, give us a subscribe. Give us a review over in Spotify or iTunes or Overcast or Breaker or wherever you may find us. Appreciate you coming in and everything like that. Do something today, tomorrow, something next week that's going to help you persevere past your paralysis.
Thanks for listening to the Professor of Perseverance podcast for motivation, inspiration, and encouragement. For more information, go to Facebook at Professor of Perseverance. Visit the website at professorofperseverance.com and view the YouTube channel, Dr. James Perdue, Professor of Perseverance.